Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host, Skylar Monroe, and this is the podcast where we dig into the silicon, the servers, and the semiconductors that are powering the AI revolution. Big thanks to our sponsors, Limitless AI, helping businesses integrate AI into their workflows, and Ago Consulting, your go-to for silicon development expertise. Today, we've got a packed episode, China's getting creative with older chip-making equipment. TSMC is absolutely printing money. Qualcomm is playing the export control game, and we've got a spicy NVIDIA versus AMD retirement portfolio debate. Let's get into it. All right, kicking things off with a story that honestly made me raise an eyebrow, and I mean that in a genuinely impressed way. The Financial Times is reporting that China is boosting its AI chip output by upgrading older ASML machines. Now, if you've been following the whole US export control saga, you know that ASML, the Dutch company that makes the world's most advanced chip-making equipment, has been restricted from selling its cutting-edge EUV lithography machines to China. But here's the thing. China already has a bunch of the older DUV machines, the deep ultraviolet ones, and they're apparently squeezing a lot more out of them than anyone expected. So let me give you a quick analogy here. Imagine you're a chef and someone tells you that you can't have the brand new convection oven. You still have your old gas range, though. What do? You master every technique you possibly can with that gas range. You optimize your recipes, you tweak your methods, you maybe mod the equipment a little bit. That's essentially what Chinese chipmakers are doing right now. They're retrofitting, recalibrating, and optimizing these older DUV machines to push yields and chip performance further than the machines were originally designed for. Now, why does this matter? Well, the whole point of US export controls was to create a meaningful technology gap to slow China's ability to produce advanced AI chips domestically. And while China still can't produce the most cutting-edge nodes that TSMC or Samsung can do with EUV, they're closing the gap faster than some analysts anticipated. Companies like SMICE are reportedly getting more usable chips per wafer out of these older machines, which directly translates to more AI accelerators hitting the market. The geopolitical implications here are significant. If China can produce enough domestically made chips to power its AI ambitions, even if they're not at the bleeding edge, that changes the calculus for a lot of US policy decisions. And for the broader industry, it raises the question, how long can export controls remain an effective tool when your target is this resourceful and this motivated? It's a fascinating chess match, and China just made a pretty clever move. Keep an eye on this one. Okay, story two, and this one's a little different because it's more of an investment angle, but trust me, there's real hardware substance here. Yahoo Finance ran a piece asking the question, NVIDIA versus AMD, which AI chip belongs in your retirement portfolio? Now I know we're a hardware show, not a finance show, but hear me out because the underlying story is really about where these two companies stand in the AI chip landscape right now. So let's start with NVIDIA. The company has become essentially synonymous with AI compute. Their H100 and now H200 GPUs are the workhorses of basically every major AI training cluster on the planet. The CUDA software ecosystem, which is NVIDIA's proprietary programming platform, is arguably just as important as the silicon itself. It's been around for nearly two decades, and AI researchers and engineers have built their entire workflows around it. Switching away from CUDA is genuinely painful, kind of like trying to switch from your native language to a new one mid-career. Now, AMD is coming at this hard. Their MI300X accelerator has been getting some real traction, and it has some legitimately impressive specs, particularly around memory capacity and bandwidth, which matters a lot for large language model inference. Companies like Microsoft and Meta have been evaluating AMD's chips, and AMD has been making serious investments in their ROCm software stack to try to close that ecosystem gap with CUDA. They're not there yet, but they're moving faster than they were a few years ago. From a pure hardware competition standpoint, AMD has closed the silicon gap more than the software gap. And that's the key insight here. In AI, the chip is almost inseparable from the software stack around it. NVIDIA understands this deeply. They've been building that moat for years. AMD is essentially trying to build a bridge across a moat that NVIDIA has been digging for two decades. It's doable, but it takes time. For investors and for engineers deciding what to build on, both of these questions are actually pretty similar. You're asking, where is the value and where is the momentum? Right now, NVIDIA has the ecosystem lock-in and AMD has the underdog upside. And honestly, in a market this big, there's probably room for both to win. But the hardware dynamics are what's really driving those financial stories. The silicon is the story. The stock price is just the scoreboard. All right, let's talk about TSMC. And we've actually got two stories here that are basically telling the same great story from two different angles. So I'm going to tackle them together. First, the Financial Times reports that TSMC is boosting capital spending as demand for AI chip surges. And second, CNBC is reporting that TSMC posted a 35% jump in revenue to a new record high. I mean, when you're posting record revenues and announcing you're going to spend even more to grow, that's a company firing on all cylinders. So for anyone who needs a quick primer, TSMC, which stands for Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, is the world's leading contract chip manufacturer. They don't design chips, they make them for everyone. NVIDIA, Apple, AMD, Qualcomm, you name it. If you have an advanced chip, there's a very good chance TSMC made it. They're like the world's best custom bakery, they have the best ovens, the best techniques, and everyone wants their bread baked there. That 35% revenue jump is staggering when you consider how large TSMC already was. We're not talking about a startup finding its footing. We're talking about one of the biggest semiconductor companies in the world growing at a rate that most startups would envy. And the primary driver, AI chip demand. NVIDIA's orders, custom AI silicon from the hyperscalers, your Googles, your Amazons, your Metas, all of that is flowing through TSMC's fabs. Now, the capital spending announcement is where it gets really interesting from a hardware perspective. Building a new semiconductor fab is not like building a warehouse. We're talking about facilities that cost 20, 30, sometimes $40 billion to construct. The equipment inside, those ASML EUV machines we talked about earlier, each one can cost $200 million or more. The lead time from announcing a fab to actually producing chips can be 3 to 5 years. So when TSMC says they're increasing capital spending, they're making a massive bet on where demand is going to be years from now. And the bet is clearly on AI advanced packaging technologies like CoWoS, which is what's used to combine logic and memory in chips like NVIDIA's H100. That's been a huge bottleneck for the industry and a huge growth area for TSMC. They've been scrambling to expand that capacity because demand has just completely outpaced supply. The fact that they're doubling down with more capital spending tells you that they believe this demand is structural, not a flash in the pan. For the AI hardware industry, TSMC's confidence is basically the most important signal you can get. Okay, last story of the day, and it's a good one. Tom's Hardware is reporting that Qualcomm is planning a China-specific lineup of data center chips called Dragonfly. And the key detail here is that these chips will include, and I love this phrasing, NerfIt AI accelerators that are specifically designed to comply with U.S. export control thresholds. So Qualcomm is essentially engineering around the rules to keep selling into the Chinese market. It's a fascinating strategy. So here's the context. U.S. export controls have set specific performance thresholds for AI chips, measured by things like total compute performance and interconnect bandwidth. If a chip exceeds those thresholds, you need a special license to export it to China, and getting that license is increasingly difficult. So what do you do if you're a chip company that wants to keep selling to one of the world's largest markets? You design a chip that deliberately comes in just under those thresholds. Think of it like a car designed specifically to pass emissions tests while being optimized in every other way possible. You're not trying to be the fastest or the most powerful, you're trying to be the most capable chip that still clears the regulatory bar. That's the Dragonfly strategy in a nutshell. Qualcomm is essentially building a purpose-limited version of their accelerator hardware that's good enough to compete in China's market without triggering export restrictions. Now, this is interesting for a few reasons. First, Qualcomm isn't typically thought of as a data center AI chip company. They're way more associated with mobile chips, the Snapdragon processors in your smartphone. But they've been making real moves in the data center space, and targeting China with a custom export-compliant chip is actually a pretty savvy way to carve out market share, while NVIDIA and AMD are partially locked out of the premium tier. Second, this raises a broader question about what these performance-limited chips actually look like from a technical standpoint. When you nerf a chip for export compliance, you might be reducing the number of active compute units, limiting the memory bandwidth, or capping the high-speed interconnects that let chips talk to each other at scale. Each of those decisions has real architectural consequences. It's not just flipping a switch, it's making deliberate design trade-offs. And third, and this is the part that I find most philosophically interesting, this whole dynamic is accelerating China's motivation to develop its own fully domestic chips. Every time a foreign company releases a good but not great version for the Chinese market, that's another reminder to Chinese policymakers and tech companies that they need supply chain independence. So in a weird way, the export control regime and the workarounds around it are both simultaneously slowing China down and motivating them to speed up. The geopolitics of silicon, folks, it never gets boring. All right, that's a wrap on today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. We covered China's clever upgrades to older chip equipment, the NVIDIA versus AMD hardware battle underneath the investment debate, TSMC's record-breaking revenue and its massive bet on AI's future, and Qualcomm's creative export-compliant Dragonfly chips for China. There's so much happening in this space right now, and I genuinely love digging into all of it with you. The AI Hardware Show is brought to you by Limitless AI and Ago Consulting. Check the link in show notes to learn more about both. If you got value out of today's episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who geeks out on silicon as much as we do. All the sources and details are in the show notes. I'll see you next time.